I wonder if we could turn in our Bibles again to the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 38. We're going to read from verse 1 of the chapter. Isaiah chapter 38, and beginning our reading at verse 1. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I've walked before thee in truth with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. And this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he has spoken. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees, which is gone down in the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backward, so the sun returned 10 degrees, by which degrees it was gone down. The writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and was recovered of his sickness, I said, In the cutting off of my days I shall go to the gates of the grave. I am deprived of the residue of my years. I said, I will not see the Lord, even the Lord, in the land of the living. I shall behold no more with the inhabitants of the world. Mine age is departed and is removed from me. As a shepherd's tent, I have cut off like a weaver my life. He will cut me off with pining sickness. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. I reckon till morning that as a lion, so will he break all my bones. From the day even to the night wilt thou make an end of me. Like a crane or swallow, so did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove. Mine eyes fail with looking upward, O Lord. I am oppressed. Undertake for me. What shall I say? He hath both spoken unto me, and himself hath done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So wilt thou recover me to live. Now we'll go down to verse 1 of chapter 39 for the sake of time. And at that time, Merodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he had heard that he had been sick and was recovered. And Hezekiah was glad of them and showed them the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment and all the house of his armor and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house nor in all his dominion that Hezekiah showed them not. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah and said unto him, What said these men, and from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, They are come from a far country unto me, even from Babylon. Then said he, What have they seen in thine house? And Hezekiah answered, All that is in mine house they have seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. Then said Isaiah to Hezekiah, Hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the day is come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons they shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Then said Hezekiah to Isaiah, Good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. He said, Moreover, for there shall be peace and truth in my days. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Let's just unite the wee word of prayer. Our gracious and our loving God, we pray that thou wouldst teach us now from thy word. We thank thee for the practicality of it. We have seen this man Hezekiah, and Lord, how he goes down as a good king, and yet, Lord, we see the faults that he has. And we recognize that there are many faults in us, and maybe the same fault that Isaiah had. And we pray that thou would speak to us today and bless thy word and write it upon our hearts. For it's in Jesus' precious name and I would ask these things. Amen. Amen. Now, over the last few weeks, we've been looking at the life of Hezekiah, the king of Judah. And we've noticed that overall he was a good king. In 2 Kings 18 and 3, we have the summary of his life, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David his father did. And we noticed his efforts in opening the doors of the temple afresh and bringing the offerings that had been abandoned in his father's reign. And not only that, but we noticed how after a faltering start the last time that we were looking at this, how that he prayed and he saw 185,000 Assyrians defeated by the hand of God. And Hezekiah had started off with this policy of separation from the Assyrians. He had made no affinity with them, or he had made no treaty with them in any way. And he was vindicated by God in the destruction of the Assyrian army. But I want you to see that in the midst of his success, that Hezekiah succumbed to the sin of pride. You know, sin can be like a latent disease. You know, a disease or some bug that lies in the system and maybe can lie there for many years and it has no effect upon us. But suddenly, for some reason, it breaks out and the disease starts in the body. And you know, sin is like that. And here was Hezekiah standing for God and doing what God wanted him to do. And yet here it seems as if that pride that was in his heart broke out. And you know, the Bible says to us, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And you know, like Hezekiah, there can be sins right down in the depths of our hearts that are lying there. And you know, unless we keep them in check, unless we mortify the things of the flesh, those sins can be very easily able to break out within our souls. And the sin that Hezekiah here had was the sin of pride. And how prone we are to pride. How very easily we can succumb to pride. The Bible says pride goeth before destruction and an haughty spirit before a fall. And here in Isaiah chapter 38 and chapter 39, we have a great contrast between Hezekiah as the godly man going to God in prayer and the man of pride who brings down destruction upon his kingdom. And there is a stark contrast here. God lays, the Holy Spirit lays these two things right beside each other, one chapter after another, so that we can see so very clearly what God is trying to tell us. He's trying to warn us about the sin of pride. And I feel that we need to be warned about that today as well. I don't need to have to tell you that we are so very easily prone to the sin of pride. Pride can bring so much destruction in our own lives, in the work of the church, and in the work of a nation. We need to have pride done away with. So I want us to look at Hezekiah's pride for a few minutes today. And the first thing I want you to see is the forerunner of his pride. Because I want you to see that pride raises its ugly head in the midst of the most unlikely circumstances. In the midst of circumstances where Hezekiah had seen God work, had been relying upon God, had seen that God had been the deliverer of his nation, and had been the deliverer of his own life. And in the midst of that, still pride raises his head. And I want you to look at Isaiah chapter 38. I want you to notice the setting here. Look at verse 1 of the chapter. And here is Hezekiah, and he's sick, and he's dying of a terminal illness. It says, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And what he's saying to Hezekiah is, you have a fatal disease. Unless there's supernatural intervention,
you're going to die. So what does Hezekiah do? Well, once again, he does the right thing. Look at verses 2 and 3.
Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done all that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Now Hezekiah, as we saw last time, learned this lesson that in the midst of trouble and trial, he needed the power of God. Without God's power, then there was going to be no deliverance. And he had been warned that he was dying, and in the face of what seemed to be an impossible situation, the only possible thing to do was to go to the Lord. And God responds to Hezekiah's prayer. Look at verses 4 and 5. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. So Hezekiah turns to God in desperation, and God says, Yes, I will heal you. I've seen your tears, I've heard your prayers, I will heal you. And thank God we have a God who heals, the great physician today, who hears the prayer. And he does so according to his own will and according to his own plan. But nevertheless, God has the power to heal. And we notice the setting. And then notice something else. Notice the sign. You'll notice that Hezekiah asked for God to give him a sign that such a thing will be. And here he is. And look at verse 7 and 8. And he says, And this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord. The Lord will do this thing that he hath spoken. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees which are gone down in the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backward, so the sun returned 10 degrees, by which degrees it was gone down. Now, of course, the sun doesn't mean move, but what he's speaking about here is the shadow of the sun and the sundial, and it speaks there about the degrees of the sun going back. So this was a spectacular sign. The very solar system itself was going to give testimony to the power of God. Maybe today you don't believe that such a thing can happen, but I believe in the God of the supernatural, the God who has made the solar system, the God who has set all things in place, and God is able to do these mighty things for us. And my, here is Hezekiah, and we read some of the poem of Hezekiah here, how he breaks out into song and poetry and praise and adoration to what God has done for him. And here is God, and he's building up this picture of the greatness of his power and what he's done for Hezekiah, how Hezekiah has relied upon him. And I want you to see not only the sign here, and not only do we see the setting, but I want you to see the significance. Because God has been teaching Hezekiah, and he's learned a number of lessons here in Isaiah chapter 38. He has learned the lesson, for example, that God can cast his sins behind his back. That God was willing to forgive this man his sins, and that God was willing to cover over and forgive the things that he had done because the punishment of death was upon him. And you know, here was Hezekiah, and he was learning the lesson that God was a God who forgives sins. And of course, he was relying upon what would take place 700 years in the future when the Lord Jesus Christ would die on the center cross of Calvary. And I'm glad today that we have a God who forgives sins. He's able to forgive you. He has power not only to heal, but he's power to give you life and life eternal. Maybe you're feeling the burden of guilt today, and the punishment of sin lies very heavy upon you. Well, thank God you can find healing. Hezekiah learned that lesson. He also learned the lesson that God loved him. Look at verse 17. Hezekiah said, But thou hast in love to my soul delivered it. Even though he had sinned against God, even though he had done wicked things, he still was able to say that he had trusted in a God of compassion and a God of love. And then he learned that God heard his prayers.
In verse 5 said, I've heard thy prayer, I've seen thy tears. And he learned that God saw his answered prayer, he saw his tears, he knew all about them, and he learned that God had power to forgive his sickness, and God was able to strengthen his weak faith through the signs that he gave, and that God was the God who controls the solar system, and that God was mighty in power, and that as he relied upon God, that God was able to give him a mighty and a glorious deliverance. And these were all the things that God was teaching Hezekiah. My, those are great lessons that we need to learn as well. We need to remember that we trust in a God of power. We need to remember that we trust in a God of might. And all the deliverance that we have, we think of the deliverance from the Assyrians that he had. Now the deliverance from sickness. And Hezekiah has learned that God answers prayer and that God is the one to whom he must go in his day of need. It is the Lord that we worship today. It is the Lord that has given all that we have. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So you notice the forerunner of his pride, he learned all these lessons about the power and grace of God. But then I want you to see the false deceitfulness of his pride. Because Hezekiah had learned all these lessons now. He learned about how God had never failed him, that God was there, and he had been grateful for the works of God in his life. But then you turn to Isaiah chapter 39, and it seems that there is a change that takes place in Hezekiah. Look at verse 1 of chapter 39. At that time did Merodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, send letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he had heard that he had been sick and was recovered. So here's the picture. Babylon is the massive empire to the east now. And the king of Babylon hears that Hezekiah, king of Judah, has been miraculously healed of a terminal illness. And so he sends his diplomats with a letter. And really it is saying, congratulations. It's saying, we're glad. This was an amazing recovery. How did this happen? This is an astonishing thing. Now you put yourself in Hezekiah's shoes. Here come these diplomats from Babylon and all their finery, and they come into the palace and they're saying to you, my, this was an astonishing thing has happened, that you have been recovered of your disease. Now Hezekiah knows that God has done it. He knows that he has been delivered. He's given these 15 years more to live because God has answered his prayer. And he knows that God is so powerful that he's able to control the whole of the solar system and to bring back the degrees of the sun. He also knows what the Bible says in Psalm 96 and 3. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. Now, what is he to do then? He is to declare to these men, here they are, here's the opportunity. Here are these heathen diplomats. What's he going to do? He should tell them, this is the hand of God. This is what God has done for me. This is what the mighty Jehovah God has done for me. But what does Hezekiah do? Well, look at verse 2, and it's tragic. And Hezekiah was glad of them and showed them all the house of his precious things, and silver and gold and the spices and the precious ointment and all the house of his armor. And all that was found in his treasures, there was nothing in his house nor in all his domain that Hezekiah showed them off. And here, what does he do? Well, he's saying, oh, come in. Here's all my stuff. Look at my storehouses. Look at all my gold. Look at all these things. And my, here is Hezekiah. What's he doing? Showing off. Showing off. And here he is. He's given his glory to himself and not to his God. He is telling them really, oh, how great am I, rather than, oh, how great is my God that has given me all these things. And you see, in the short period of time between Isaiah 38 and Isaiah 39, it looks as if Hezekiah almost has forgotten about God. He's forgotten about the God who has
given him all these wonderful things and the life that he has, and he's forgotten to exalt God, and now he's exalting himself. My, here is a great sin of pride that enters in. And you notice that Isaiah comes with a word of judgment because of this. Look at verses 5 to 7. Then said Isaiah to Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house, and that which thy fathers have laid up in store until this day, shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which they shall beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." And so here's the message of God. Isaiah, you're stupid. You've showed these Babylonians all your gold and your silver and all your half. And what are the Babylonians going to do? They're going to take it from you. They're going to take it from you. And your sons will be made into eunuchs. And your gold is going to be taken. And here is the word of the Lord to him. Look at what he says. But I want you to notice this. Look at what Hezekiah says to this. Look at verse 8. And God has said to him, all your land is going to be taken from you, your gold, and your sons. What does Hezekiah say to that? Look at verse 8. Good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken, he said. Moreover, there shall be peace and truth in my days. Good. Jerusalem conquered, all the wealth of the land taken to Babylon, and he says it's good. Why is he saying it's good? He's saying it's good because there'll be peace and truth in my days. In other words, all this judgment is not going to happen until I'm off the scene. And my, we think of that, and we're stunned by the pride and the arrogance of this man. As long as I'm not involved, as long as it doesn't affect me. And there you have pride, self-exaltation that has entered in. And my, we think of that. Here is this man, and suddenly after praying to God and humbling himself before God, and the very next thing, as soon as God answers his prayer, he's turned to pride. And you know, it shows us the awfulness of our hearts. It shows us the awful effect of indwelling sin that is there, and the sin of pride that is in us. And you know, the Bible speaks of pride as a very serious thing. We read how that we are told in James 4 and 1 Peter 5 that God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. I wonder today, is there pride in our hearts? You know, we should look at ourselves. Ask yourself, do I feel superior instead of feeling humble before God? Do I feel superior to the people out there because I'm a Christian and they are not? You know, there but for the grace of God go I. We need to ask ourselves, do I feel superior? Do I take pleasure in people noticing me? Do I want to be the very heart and soul of everything? Do I really want to be the very center of attention all the time? Something else. Do I take pleasure in somebody else's sinfulness? When somebody else falls, do I take pleasure in that? Or do I talk about what exalts me instead of talking about what exalts others? Are these things true of me? You know, we need to examine our hearts. Here's Hezekiah. And Isaiah 38, you would think that here is a godly man who's never going to fall. But as we said, the Bible says, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. We see here the false deceitfulness of pride. But then I want you to notice something else. I want you to see the formula for pride. At least it's hinted at here. Look at God's advice to Hezekiah in verse 5 of Isaiah 39. Then said Isaiah to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord of hosts. And the word that was going to come to Hezekiah here was not going to be a pleasant message. It was a word, however, that was going to dispel the pride of Hezekiah. And we certainly could say that the antidote to pride
is to let God's word shine in our hearts. You remember how the psalmist said in Psalm 139, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." And you know, the problem is that we don't take the problem of indwelling sin seriously enough. We don't fully understand what our hearts have within them. And we who are saved are new creatures and we have a new nature, but there still is the old man there and he needs to be dealt with. The Bible says that we're to be vigilant, to be humble, to be aware. Ask God to show us. And the first thing that we need to do is confess the sin of pride. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And thank God that when we confess our sins, the guilt is lifted. Thank God the Savior paid the price there on the cross of Calvary that we might be redeemed. Thank God we can confess our sins. And then we need to pray for the power of the Holy Spirit. To conquer our pride, we need the strength of God. And we need God to strengthen our humility, to squash pride. We need to ask the Lord to crush pride. Create in me a clean heart. Renew in me a right spirit. And we need God to do that because, you know, we could go out of this meeting. We might say to ourselves, you know, this is a good idea. I need to be stopped being proud. I need to deal with the pride that's in my heart. But you never do it. You never do it on your own. We need the power of God enables to crush the power of pride. And then what we need to do is nurture God's glory and that sense of brokenness of sin in our own hearts. We need to come and let the word of God shine in our hearts. You see, when we catch a glimpse of the glory of God, we're like young Isaiah who saw the Lord high and lifted up and his train filling the temple. When he had a sense of the glory of God, he knew his own nothingness. He was like John who, when he saw the Ancient of Days and his glory, fell down at his feet as dead. You know, the old prophets used to go and prostrate themselves in the dust before God, because when we see God, then we know our own nothingness. When I survey the wondrous cross, on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. I wonder today, is there something of this pride in our heart? Is it like that old virus that is lying there? You know how easily it arises itself. You know, I can think of times, you know, maybe sometimes you've been in conversation as a minister and you find yourself beginning to tell about the things that have happened, or the things that have taken place in meetings, and my, you find that boastfulness beginning to enter in. It's pride. And how difficult pride is, how dangerous it is. Oh, that I might come to the Savior's feet today. Here's this young man. And overall, his life is good. Overall, his life is one that God commends. But my, how it is destroyed at the end by the sin of pride. We need to guard against these old sins. And we need to go to God that he may give us the strength to stand against them. But thank God there's cleansing in the precious blood. There's cleansing for all our sins in that crimson tide. May we come and find our sins forgiven and our hearts renewed by the precious blood of the Lamb. May God write his word upon our hearts for his name's sake. Let's just unite, please, in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy precious word today. Lord, we've been warned about the sin of pride. We think of Hezekiah here and, Lord, the great things that thou dost do for him. And yet, Lord, how he began to feel as if it was something that he had done and began to take the glory to himself. Lord, safeguard us from doing that.
Lord, we as poor worms of the dust are so prone to the sin of pride. Lord, deal with us today. Lord, bring us to that place where we're usable in thy glory and in thy work. Bless us now, we pray of thee, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.